19 hours 30 UTC on Tuesday, January 2nd, and this is Zimbabwe Today.
We've looked at our laws, we've looked at the SADC guidelines. Everything that they are complaining about is clearly covered within our constitution.
That was Zimbabwe's Minister of Justice talking about the nation's electoral laws. We'll have more on that story and others coming up. Good evening, I'm Kutsumai Mutatwa.
And I'm Chidonjere on VOA Zimbabwe Today.
The Zimbabwe Election Resource Center, or ERC, a nonpartisan research and advocacy institution on elections and democracy, has written to President Emmerson Mnangagwa, urging him to introduce a raft of reforms to ensure free and fair elections. The ERC also petitioned Parliament and the Justice Minister, Siambi Siambi. Mnangagwa has promised fair and credible elections this year, but ERC Director Tawanda Chinyinyi says the President must do more than talk to ensure that the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission is independent and to ensure prisoners and those in the diaspora vote. Since last year, 22 opposition parties under the banner of the Zimbabwe National Electoral Reform Agenda have held protests and petitioned the government to institute reforms. But Justice Minister Ziyambi tells VOA Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the country's electoral laws are compliant with African Union and Southern African Development Community guidelines.
Yes, Blessing, as regards the SADC and AU guidelines, in our considered view, Zimbabwe is within the SADC and AU guidelines. We've looked at our laws, we've looked at the SADC guidelines. Everything that they are complaining about is clearly covered within our constitution and our laws. Our constitution clearly stipulates that ZEC is an independent body, not subject to the control of anyone, and that is in compliance with the SADC and AU guidelines. And it clearly lays out the work of ZEC, and our electoral laws, they are compliant with everything that is there. So insofar as we are concerned, we believe that we should not just waste resources doing cosmetic changes to the legislation that are already materially covered by the existing legislation.
There was also concern that ZEC was not independent because it was not controlling its budget. Has this been rectified?
That is not true, Blessing. You may recall that last year I was the Portfolio Committee Chair of the Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs Committee. We raised this when we noticed that the budget for ZEC was under the Minister of Justice, and we pointed that to Honorable Chinamasa that that was an anomaly, and he agreed. And last year, ZEC was receiving their appropriation directly from Minister of Finance, and that is the same thing this year. In fact, the Minister, Honorable Chinamasa, has already set aside within the current budget an amount for elections, an amount of which, if any players feel it's not adequate, they are free to go to the Portfolio Committee of Justice to raise their concern, to raise the argument, so that as we debate the budget, parliamentarians will then debate on behalf of the various stakeholders to say that for ZEC to adequately carry out its mandate, can we ensure that a budget of so much is included, and then Parliament passes that budget.
Lastly, Honorable Ziyambi, there is a concern about the right to vote with some of the electoral monitoring bodies arguing that prisoners and Zimbabweans in the diaspora have the right to vote. What's your take on that?
Yes, thank you very much. Like I said earlier, we had an indaba in Bulawayo where we deliberate on most of these electoral issues. And the conclusion then, which was not challenged by most of these civic society organizations which were present when the experts and the legal experts who were making presentations did their presentation, was that we have a legal framework that adequately covers most of these areas, and there was no need for us to go that route. However, let me say that at this juncture, we cannot go to those specific issues regarding the diaspora vote, the right of the prisoners, because after that indaba, they decided to take the issues to court. So we await the determination of the court, and the court, I understand, is sitting on the 8th of January. Once that determination has been given, we then know the direction to proceed.
Zimbabwe Justice Minister Ziyambi Ziyambi speaking to VOA Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from the capital, Harare.
Today, a court in Bulawayo dropped charges against 8 youths who were arrested Saturday for protesting against President Emmerson Mnangagwa as he gave a speech at the Zimbabwe Trade Fair. Human rights activists and their lawyers say the army arrested them and physically assaulted them while they were in custody. The youths appeared badly beaten when they appeared in court today. Their lawyers shared with journalists medical reports that indicated they had multiple injuries to their heads and bodies. Anastasia Ndlovu is covering the story for VOA from Bulawayo and spoke with our colleague Kate Pound Dawson.
In Bulawayo today, more than 500 people from the opposition political parties, churches and civic society organizations protested inside and outside Bulawayo Trade Court Magistrate Courts against the torture and unlawful arrest of 8 Mtwakazi Republic Party members who were assaulted by the Army, CIO, and ZANU-PF youth led by Emagura Charumbira on Sunday at Zimbabwe International Trade Fairgrounds Hall 4 during the Thanksgiving ceremony organized by the Family of God Church for President Emmerson Tambudzo Mnangagwa. The 8 youths demonstrated against the president, calling for the address of Gukurahundi genocide and freeing of Mtwakazi. The 8 arrested Mtwakazi Republic Party members were also brought to court today, few minutes before lunchtime, and they were scheduled to appear before a magistrate at court too, but they did not appear till the close of business, and they were released around past 5 p.m. by the end of day today without any charges levied against them.
How did the police respond today to the protest?
Today, the police only interrogated Mtwakazi Republic Party President Mqondisi Moyo, asking him to silence the people who were demonstrating, but he challenged the Central Police Station officers to leave him alone and address the reason why the protesters were protesting, saying the delay to transport the accused to the courts, which is a distance that is less than 500 meters from the courts, is the reason they are demonstrating outside the courts.
What is expected to happen to the protesters who were arrested?
The arrested Mtwakazi Republic Party protesters were today released from the police custody to their abameli lawyers for human rights, namely Dumisani Dube, Blessing Dube, and Makawe Mpofu, without charges, as the army had destroyed evidence and assaulted the protesters. After their release, the Mtwakazi Republic Party 8 protesters were taken by Women of Zimbabwe Arise director Jenny Williams to Garland House Medical Center for treatment. The protesters were only taken to hospital yesterday at night by the police and they did not get any medication, but the doctors only checked them and were released because they had no $15 each for consultation fees. They were only given medical reports that are currently in possession of their lawyers.
That was journalist Anastasia Ndlovu with VOA's Kate Pound Dawson. Zimbabwe's new president has been in office for just over a month. One of its biggest headaches is halting the economic crisis, which continues to worsen. Reporter Kudzai Zunawashe has this report on one part of the crisis, price hikes.
The latest round of price increases comes as holidays are ending, and parents prepare for their children to their school. Professor Ashok Chakravarti is an economist and a consultant in the office of the president. He says the shortage of foreign currency is causing the price hikes.
People are paying a premium on the parallel market for the forex. And so when they are importing the goods, either finished goods or import inputs, that's resulting in price escalations.
Zimbabweans have struggled for more than a year with a growing shortage of cash and foreign currency. The problem makes it difficult for mining companies, farmers and manufacturers to import the raw materials they need to operate. And without raw materials, their output and export sales falls, adding to the cash crisis. Mike Bima is the Minister of Industry, Commerce and Enterprise Development. He recently told journalists the government is taking a look at the price increases.
The government continues to be very much concerned about the general increases of prices of essential products. I want to acknowledge the fact that a number of players, who include manufacturers, retailers, importers, etc., have wantonly been increasing their prices.
In a bid to halt the increases, the government continues to pledge to support producers so their production costs remain low.
Government is very keen to support local producers in any way, be it in terms of giving them the forex or also any other support to ensure that we are able to produce and meet the demands of our economy. We should also promote exports, again to bring in the much needed foreign currency.
Last week, the Harare City Council recently came under fire after green water came out on taps. Authorities said they needed to import some chemicals, but the Reserve Bank had not released the foreign currency funds. Following wide news coverage, the Reserve Bank made the money available. The Reserve Bank has been sourcing foreign currency for local industry players who needed to keep their operations running. But as the economy slumps and the demand for foreign currency rises, Bima told producers to find other ways to source foreign currency. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinawashe from Harare.
Linjani matabezulu, linjani zulu kandaba. Sifisa ukulibikela ukuthi siletulela indaba ezimqoqo ngeZimbabwe. Suku zonke ngo 6 a.m., 2 p.m., la ngo 7 p.m. eZimbabwe. Lisibamba kumakakasi ati 909 meter wave 4930-15580 laku 6080 shortwave frequencies. Lila kunjalo ukusithola ebulenjini bokuzilibazisa ku Facebook kukhasi lethu le VOA Ndebele.
A top government minister says businesses and farmers must find ways to get foreign exchange on their own and not wait for allocations from the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. Mike Bima, the Minister of Industry, Commerce and Enterprise Development, recently told journalists that waiting for the RBZ to give out foreign currency could hurt businesses. He said businesses need to generate their own foreign exchange by exporting more. The government is struggling to meet demand for foreign exchange to pay for the imports of both manufactured goods and raw materials that farmers, mining companies and factories need. Under the current system, foreign exchange is allocated based on a priority system, which means some companies can wait a long time for their allotments. That forces some to go to the black market to buy currencies, paying a higher rate than the government does, and that, Bima and economists say, contributes to rising consumer prices.
In his New Year's address, President Emmerson Mnangagwa urged Zimbabweans at home and abroad to resolve to work hard together to better the country. Much of the reaction on social media was negative.
Etrust Galande says, "Walk the talk, leader. Those who booed Grace were released soon after you became president. I just hope those who protested against you will be freed very soon."
Chessie Lino says, "Walk the talk. We are sick and tired of sweet nothings."
Emmanuel Tembo says, "We have not seen one incident in which you have been a listening and responsive president."
But Muneri Chakawana says, "May I wish you a fruitful and prosperous new year, and may the Almighty Lord guide you in all of your endeavors. Thank you, Comrade President."
You're listening to Zimbabwe Today, live from Voice of America, Studio 22. I'm Kutsunai Matetwa in Washington, D.C.
At 44 past the hour, we continue with the news about Zimbabwe's momentous political change. Nigerians who fled their country because of the Boko Haram insurgents say their hope for the new year is to return home, but they say that their government should help socially reintegrate them. Moki Edwin Kinzeka visited a refugee camp at Minowa and the village of Gawar on Cameroon's northern borders with Nigeria to find out the refugees' wishes for the new year.
Mm-hmm. It is a festive atmosphere at Gawar Village, one of the communities in the Mayochanaga administrative unit on Cameroon's northern border with Nigeria, hosting thousands of Nigerian refugees. Staff of the World Lutheran Federation, WLF, a global communion of 145 churches in 98 countries, share gifts and pray with Nigerians fleeing Boko Haram atrocities in their country. Obin Nzali of the WLF says they have organized an outreach program that will last 2 weeks to encourage both the refugees and their host communities to continue to live in peace.
La présence des populations réfugiées dans cette partie du pays.
He says the presence of the refugees has an impact on the living conditions of the host communities whose resources are already stretched, and so they have brought together the refugees and their host community members as a sign of encouragement and to promote the spirit of living together in such challenging moments. Among those who have come to listen to the message of peace is 28-year-old Emmanuel Kaladjivi, who fled from Borno State in Nigeria in January 2017. He says he lost his brother and has not seen his wife, but is happy that God has allowed him to see another year in good health.
I am very happy. So many people die in 2017, but as God leave us in life, now we are very happy to see this, the new year.
Emmanuel says his wish is to return to Nigeria and reunite with his relatives and friends, but he is still expecting assurances from the governments of Cameroon and Nigeria that the torture people endure at the hands of Boko Haram has ended and they can live in peace. Gawa village is situated 5 kilometers from the Minawawo refugee camp, which is home to some 72,000 refugees. In 2017, 12,000 people arrived. Thousands voluntarily expected to return, according to the government of Cameroon. 40-year-old Ali Shwek, who arrived in the camp 3 years ago, says he is not yet thinking of returning. He says he does not want to relive the horror he experienced when Boko Haram raided his village of Atargara in northern Nigeria, killing so many and torching all the houses, making them refugees after he escaped. To him, living in the camp is better than taking an adventure to his hometown without knowing if peace has returned.
We always come together to worship in one center. And after the mosque in the morning, at about 12, we go to a certain place where we have the band. The people are dancing, chatting, sharing gifts among friends and well-wishers.
The governments of Cameroon and Nigeria, together with UNHCR, signed the tripartite agreement for the voluntary repatriation of Nigerian refugees living in Cameroon in May 2017. WLF's Annette Mbane says they are also advising the refugees that their repatriation can only take part on voluntary basis.
The accord signed between Cameroon government, Nigerian government and the UNHCR is all about putting in place the legal framework to permit the refugees going back to Nigeria in a safe and dignified condition.
A UNHCR survey conducted in Minawawa on the intentions of refugees to return to Nigeria revealed that 7 out of every 10 people expressed their intention to return as soon as the situation is safe in their areas of origin. In May 2017, the United Nations reported that food shortages in northern Cameroon were raising tensions between local communities and Nigerian refugees displaced by the Boko Haram conflict. The government said just one-third of the $690 million needed to meet the needs of displaced people and host communities this year has been received. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Minawawa, Northern Cameroon.
United Nations, the European Union, and African nations are working to stem the flow of migrants towards Europe. Often, would-be migrants end up trapped in dangerous conditions. This month, 60 migrants returned from Libya to Sierra Leone with help from the International Organization for Migration, or OIM. Migrants from Kuwait were also returned earlier this year. Nina DeVries in Freetown has more on what their experience was like.
Mariama Doe is one of hundreds of migrants who came back to Sierra Leone this year. She's relishing her freedom after having spent 10 months in Kuwait. At first, she thought she was going to work as a security guard. When she got there, she was sold as a housekeeper through an agency to several families.
I was not happy in Kuwait. Always, I can cry. Every day, I can cry when I remember home. And I remember my two kids. I can cry every day, every day.
She says she only got paid once the entire time she was there and was forced to work almost 24 hours a day. When she got sick, there was no sympathy.
I don't have choice. They will say, go and work. You are here for this work. You don't have to sit down. You don't have to rest. We'll buy you for this job. You have to work.
She managed to escape while the family was out one day. Through the help of a stranger on the streets of Kuwait, she was directed to the International Organization for Migration. After several months in a shelter, she was brought back to Sierra Leone with the IOM's assistance. It helped her reintegrate into society by providing financial compensation to set up a business. She now sells clothes and says it's enough to keep her going. Abuse of migrants is happening in many places. Most recently in Libya, there are allegations of migrants being sold in slave markets. About 60 migrants were brought back through the IOM and the Sierra Leone government in mid-December, and another group in late November. Umaru Berry is one of the migrants who just returned from Libya. He left Sierra Leone because he was jobless and homeless.
And when my little money finished, I don't have place to stay. So sometimes I sleep in the beach. Sometimes I sleep in the ghettos with boys.
Most migrants use Libya as a gateway to Europe. The United Nations estimates about 700,000 migrants are in Libya. Barry says he wanted to stay in Libya, but he soon realized life was not any better. He also describes not always getting paid for work, and his wife, who he met in Libya, often had payments withheld. They eventually managed to get in touch with the IOM in Libya and started the process to be repatriated to Sierra Leone. Barry, his wife, and their son arrived in the early morning hours of December 14th on a chartered flight. It was bittersweet.
I don't have money, but I'm too okay for my life and my family.
The IOM will also compensate Barry, and he's hoping to start up a business. For now, he's staying with his brother. And although it's tough starting over yet again, he's grateful to be out of Libya and back in his country. Nina DeVries, VOA News, Freetown, Sierra Leone.
Vatereri veStudio 7 tunoda kukuzivisai kuti tava nezvimwe zvirongwa zvakatanga zvatichange tichikupakurirai kubva na 6 a.m. kuseni kwega kwega na 2 p.m. masikati ega ega nechirongwa chenyu chamagaro ziva cha 7 p.m. mazuva ose. Munokwanisa kutibata pa 909 medium wave frequency, pa 4930 shortwave, 15580 shortwave, ne 6080 shortwave mazuva ose. Musakangana kuti tichangezve tichitepfenyura pa Facebook page yedu ye VOA Shona. Kana musati mafarira Facebook page yedu, ibvai maenda ikoko motsvaga pakanzi like mubva matifarira. Tokuyeuchidzai zvakare zvirongwa izvi zvinenge zvichiitwa na 6 a.m., 2 p.m. na 7 p.m. manheru ega ega. Musakanganwe.
In Malawi, the push for more female members of parliament was dealt a blow when the government said it would not consider a proposal to create 28 automatic seats for women. Malawi ranks amongst the countries within the South African Development Community and world where women are underrepresented in government. Lamek Masina has more from Blantyre.
Justice and Constitutional Affairs Minister Samuel Tembenu said the government removed the provision because it would be a disadvantage to women candidates in some constituencies. He said the provision would also involve a laborious and complicated legal process, including amending constitutional provisions and other electoral laws. Proponents of the provision say its removal is unfortunate. Esime Kainja is a member of the Special Law Commission that came up with the proposal. She told reporters that the 28-seat idea was the best option among many that were intended to increase the number of women in parliament.
There were so many options. There was an issue of taking quotas at party level. There was another option of maybe just taking one constituency per district to be attached to women. That was also did not work.
She says although the proposed 28 seats might sound irrational, it gave an assurance that Malawi would achieve at least 30% of female representation in parliament, as required by SADC protocol, which the bloc adopted in 2008 with the goal of ensuring equal rights for women and an end to discrimination. Out of 193 members of Malawi's parliament, only 32 are women. Emma Galia is the national coordinator for the NGO Gender Coordination Network, which has long headed Malawi's 50-50 campaign for equal gender representation.
For the executive to remove that recommendation, now I'm beginning to doubt if Malawi is really serious about achieving gender equality and women's empowerment in the area of politics. And it is very sad that it is happening to us in this way.
Galia says Malawi should have learned from other countries like South Africa, Mozambique and Uganda, where similar provisions have helped increase the number of women in decision-making positions.
We need to impress on government that they have an obligation to make things work for everybody in Malawi, in politics and outside politics, and that is about gender equality.
Gender activists say they are attempting to have the provision reconsidered. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
That was Soldier Love from Amonya Ipapo. Well, that is it for us this evening on VOA Zimbabwe Today. I'm Chidonjere.
And I'm Kuntanai Mutetwa. We'll be back again tomorrow at 9:30 p.m. Zimbabwe time for the latest news and analysis in English. VOA Shona and Dabele broadcasts can be heard at 7 a.m., 2 p.m., and 7 p.m. Zimbabwe time.
Stay with us around the clock on Facebook at Studio 7, VOA Ndebele and VOA Shona, as well as our VOA website, www.studio7news.com.
Negotiate.